Yes, yes, we are. We're going to have fun today and do our own thing. Saturday Morning Wrestling, it's Jim Valley, and we are here live, technical problems and all. I don't know if it's you. I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's my stupid Mac. I don't know what it is. I think it's Blog Talk. Blog Talk is just the worst. Oh, well. Anyway, we're back, and joining us today on the show, on a day when, if you looked on Twitter, you would see Joe Piscopo, for some reason. He's trending on Twitter. But what a perfect time to take it back to the 80s and the years of Ronald Reagan and go back once again to the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. Joining us on the show today is the Park Avenue Knockout, Roxy Astor, and she was one half of a tag team in the gorgeous ladies of wrestling with Tiffany Million, who went on to another career. And if you want to know what that career is, leave your safe search on when you go and search Tiffany Million. Does that make sense? Or ask Bruce Mitchell what Tiffany Million did, because from what I heard on from Bruce Pritchard, he's a connoisseur of those things. So there you go. Ask Bruce Mitchell about Tiffany Million, but maybe we can talk about it. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But we're going to have some fun with Roxy Astor. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I had the very popular Queen Kong on the show and Deanna Booher. And as I mentioned, she's like our Meryl Streep. She's our white trash Meryl Streep because she's been in pro wrestling. She's been in roller derby. She's been on Married with Children. She does all of these things so well. She's our girl. We love Queen Kong. And, you know, she's not doing well. And if you do, you can contribute to her GoFundMe. That would be really nice. Or you could also contribute by buying her book. And her book is actually really good. It's a little adult. As I mentioned, I wouldn't have the kids read it or have them do a book report for school because you'll have to answer a lot of questions, but it's a pretty entertaining book, and it's very well written, and it covers a lot of alternative employment that she had. How about that? So we're going to have Roxy Astor on. That's going to be a lot of fun, and we're resetting here because Blog Talk is terrible, and we all know that, and you know that. By the way, Joe Piscopo is trending this morning on Twitter, which is odd. And of course, anytime someone from the past trends on Twitter, you're like, oh, did they die? Did they die? And no, he's at a Donald Trump rally. He's the main speaker at a Donald Trump rally. And don't get me wrong, you know, Piscopo, it's amazing. You know, if you grew up back then, you know, and I think I've watched virtually every Saturday Night Live ever. I love Saturday Night Live. Even when it's terrible, it's fascinating to me. But you know, I mean, after that original cast, which was, I mean, sheesh. You know, how can you? I mean, what a home run right out of the gate. You know, with such a cast with Belushi and Aykroyd and Chevy Chase and Gilda Radner and Jane Curtin and Lorraine Newman and Garrett Morris and just, you know, so much groundbreaking comedy that went on and, you know, kind of lost steam by the time 1980 came around and they tried to reset. But, I mean, Saturday Night Live would literally be dead if it wasn't for Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo. I mean, Joe Piscopo was a big deal. And obviously he was one of those people, and you've seen this on Saturday Night Live before, where it's like, oh, it was the writers. Oh, he's not really that funny. It's just the writers. Well, anyway, Joe Piscopo, he's a nice man. I guess he's big in New Jersey, so hey, he's at a Trump rally. Good for him. Good for everybody. So Roxy Astor's coming up, and I want to talk about just a couple of things before we get to Roxy. So stand by. It's the PW Torch Livecast, which is brought to you by Loot Crate. You know, Loot Crate is the one loot service, the one crate service that has got all the licenses. It's got Star Wars, it's got Marvel, and it's got the WWE. You can even sign up for WWE Slam Crate, and you can see all of the unboxings with all of the stuff, a T-shirt, usually some sort of figurine, a rare card, all kinds of cool stuff. And you can sign up at lootcrate.com and type in PW Torch, and you can save some extra cash on your Loot Crate if you're a first-time Loot Crater. But it's all brought to you by Loot Crate. Go check it out. When it comes to any of the boxes that send things out, Loot Crate is the one, and be sure to support them because they support the PW Torch Livecast. It's the PW Torch Livecast, Saturday Morning Wrestling with Jim Valley, and coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to have Roxy Astor from the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, and we'll talk some women's wrestling today. But a couple of things I wanted to get into before we have Roxy on, but it was 20 years ago this week. You know, in 1996, it was very much a year of transition as far as the WWE went. You know, with the NWO and, you know, the advent, I mean, they were just so cool and so real, and everybody wanted to watch it. And it was just, it was such an exciting time with Hulk Hogan being a heel and all of the possibilities in WCW. It really was an amazing time to be a wrestling fan. And if you were experienced that, you know exactly what I mean. I mean, people were talking about wrestling. You didn't have to hide, but it was a year of transition for Vince McMahon in the sense that he had to get away from what brought him to the dance. And what brought him to the dance was this campy cartoon version of wrestling. And to his credit, the old dog changed his tricks. And you can't take that away from him. It just took a little while. And one of the most notorious things on that road to finally becoming the Attitude Era happened this week. In 1996, and that was the Raw where they had the Steve Austin, Brian Pillman gun angle. And you can find it online. It's pretty easy to find, but, you know, the angle was that Brian Pillman was crazy and Steve Austin was crazy, and that they were fighting in this house over this gun. And, you know, obviously the WWF, you know, Vince will tell you that they don't do murder. They don't do a lot of different things. But on this day, they kind of did. They kind of did. So they're at Pillman's home in Kentucky, apparently. And Stone Cold Steve Austin told everyone that he's coming to Pillman's house. And when Austin, you know, and Pillman's injured at the time. And so when Pillman, when Austin shows up and he's going to beat in the door and he's going to go through the window and he's going to do all of these things, you know, and they're chasing throughout the house and it's all this chaos and everything. And Pillman pulls out a gun, and as the satellite feed cuts out and goes dark, boom, you hear this gunshot and everyone wants to know what happened. And, you know, I think, you know, it's weird, 20 years, and I think I feel the same way about it then that I do now. It just seems wrong, and not like evil wrong, but it just seems incongruent with what wrestling is supposed to be about. It just, I don't know, I'm still not a big fan of it, and I don't feel better or worse about it. I think I feel pretty much the same, just that it, I don't know, just I don't think it really worked. I don't think it was appropriate, and like I said, I think it goes against everything that professional wrestling is supposed to be. I mean, we've seen angles in houses before, like Randy Orton's house and other things like that, and that's different. But I think when you bring in the aspect of the firearm, I think it changes the whole dynamic of the show and the whole dynamic of wrestling. I mean, Here's the other thing. You know, when you're creating that much content and you're in a war for wrestling, and, you know, I mean, it was a big deal back then, the ratings and all of that stuff. And by the way, speaking of ratings, Nitro did beat Raw that night, 3.4 to 2.3. So the gun angle didn't really work all of that well. But, you know, I mean, I give them credit in the sense that they tried something new. It didn't really work, but they were willing to try something new. I don't think it's you know, it's not the end of the world. It's not, you don't need to condemn them for life. They tried something to see, you know, it was kind of the direction the audience was going. Let's see if they're going this far. No, they're not going that far. Okay, well then let's move on. And they tried, and I give them credit for that, but it's still, there's just certain things in wrestling that don't really belong. It kind of reminds me of that whole angle with the Hart Foundation and the Nation of Domination, where the Hart Foundation was going to be framed for spraying inappropriate things in the locker room of the Nation. That's another thing. It's just no, that kind of stuff is you don't really want in professional wrestling. But God, you know, wrestling runs the gamut. You know, we see it today, Lucha Underground, with sort of its weird science fiction aspect to it, and you know, traditional Lucha Libre, and Matt Hardy. You know, a lot of people are pushing the boundaries these days of what qualifies as professional wrestling and what it means and what the social mores are. And that's kind of cool. I mean, I've given, you know, that's the one thing. It's like the Matt Hardy thing isn't really my cup of tea, but at least they're trying something new. And for some people, it appears to be getting some traction. And, you know, when you have to create this much content for us greedy wrestling fans, you know, I guess you got to take some risks. And that's what we're going to talk about today with Roxy Astor. We're going to talk about a different type of wrestling and just a crazy time. So we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back, and then we're going to go back to the 80s and talk some gorgeous ladies of wrestling with the lovely Roxy Astor. Stand by.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
Unmistakable sounds of the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. Yes, indeed. It was back in the day, if you watch TV from 85 to 90, particularly late night TV, it seemed like they came on after Arsenio a lot. But joining us now, one of those gorgeous ladies of wrestling. She was the Park Avenue, and probably still is, the Park Avenue Knockout. Joining us now, Roxy Astor. Roxy, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. And I just had a weird scenario this morning, though. Oh, I almost got... Okay, I have to do this podcast in my car. Would you like to know why?
Sure, if you want to share, go right ahead.
They're working on our building next door. They are building with hammers for the last 6 months, so... I thought this morning they would give it a break. Oh, no. They were up with hammers at 7 in the morning and saws. So I have to actually get into my car to do a podcast so we don't have that in the background. So I go to drive out, and then there's a truck blocking me, the workers from there. So they got a little taste of, get out of the way.
It's okay. I'm having problems with the Blog Talk interface this morning, so it's just our karma this morning. It is what it is, but we've made it, and we're gonna make it the best show we can.
Oh, it'll be a good show because I'm in that kind of mood. So when I'm in that mood, it's a good thing.
Good. I'm glad.
Yes.
So here we are. It's 20 years after the fact or so. Which, by the way, real quick, Which seasons were you on? Which seasons were you a
Wait,
part
did of? You 20 years or did you say 30 years?
You're right. It is 30 years.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. 30 years. I know it's hard to say, but it is 30 years.
Really, you should have just gone with it, but who am I to tell you what to do?
No. I'm proud of that. That, you know what, after 30 years, that people are still talking about it. 20 and 30, that's a great thing.
Yeah.
So, I was in seasons 3 and 4.
Okay, that's what I thought. Now, did you work with Matilda? Was Matilda still a part of the show by then?
No, and she had left, and you're probably going to know, I think she left first season, second season. I can ask you.
I think she was.
I was a fan of Glow.
Yeah. So let me reset for you here. I was a big wrestling fan, and you'd think being a horny teenager with hormones that I would have loved Glow at the time, but I did not, because I was a purist with wrestling, and you guys were mocking wrestling, and how dare you do that? And you're,
we've heard that. Yeah,
I'm sure, you'd think the hormones would override everything, but they really didn't, which was odd, but. Because they overrode pretty much everything else, and I'm not sure they still don't to this day. But
I was going to say, they're not working for you now, or it's 30 years later.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. But anyway, a few years ago, I came across the documentary, the Glow documentary on cable, and mm-hmm. and it's a great documentary, and it kind of shows that, you know, even though you girls were sort of like, you know, the monkeys of wrestling, where they sort of put you all together and gave you characters and all of those things, that you guys had a lot of the same relationships that other wrestlers did, and uh-huh. wrestlers who were more part of the, I don't know what the right word is, but you know, the WWE or the independent wrestlers or the territorial wrestlers of the time, you guys had a lot of that same relationship and went through a lot of similar things.
Well, the thing is, too, is I did another podcast with someone, and I was told that Moolah said that Glow ruined wrestling. And, you know, and I looked up to Moolah, and I looked up to, I'm one of the few that actually watch wrestling. And before I got into Glow, I was a fan of Glow. It was a TV show. That's all it was. It wasn't wrestling because they had all the skits and the campiness. It was a lot of fun. So I feel like that if you weren't a fan of wrestling, maybe Glow kind of helped you work into it. Or then again, it could have, you know, gone opposite, and you know, you could have totally hated it after Glow. But and I like how you say that we were kind of monkeys thrown, or how about fish in a fishbowl?
Yep.
Monkeys, in a fishbowl.
I mean, like the '60s band, the Monkees, who were created.
Oh, you're talking about how they just kind of go, here you go, this is what you are. I just saw, like, a show on that. I was totally shocked. I knew I shouldn't have been after being in Globe, but I was shocked how that was. So, you know what? I think that's what makes us so unique now is because we do still talk after 30 years. And like, with Matilda, I talk to her every week. I wasn't a friend with hers back in Glow, but I talk with her every week. She's an amazing person. You interviewed her, and she's just great. And every time I talk to her, she's, you know, she's always laughing and happy. And she's gone through a lot. You saw in the documentary, you know, what we've gone through. But you're not going to have that group of girls like how you had with Glow, because we were stuck in apartments and together and filming, as you have now, because now everybody's, you have your independence, you have WWE and the other ones. It's just not the same thing, you know, and it never will be. But that's why, to me, I think Glow is so unique.
Yeah. So what were you doing back then before you were cast as Roxy Astor? What was your life
like? I actually came from Auburn, Washington. I'm wondering if you know. I went to Auburn High School. You know where that is?
Mm-hmm. I do.
You're in Kirkland.
I have some friends who went to the Adventist Academy in Auburn.
Yeah, so I grew up there, and you know, I've always kind of wanted to live in L.A. And so I went to Auburn Beauty College and became a hairdresser right out of high school, but then went to the Seattle Art Institute right after that. So I was finding my way, not really knowing what I wanted to do, but my sister moved out to L.A. and I followed her. And there was, I was watching Glow, and there was a caption, "Do you want to be a Glow girl?" Now, that's when I think David McLean left with the season one girls. He left and brought the girls, and I know they had to finish the show. So they had to throw together this show, I think, within, I don't remember. It could be between 6 months to a year. But I came from being a hairdresser, not even an actress, to being Roxy Astor, which to me, I look back at, how did I do that? You know, it's crazy.
Now, how much wrestling training did you get?
Well, I wasn't trained by Mondo, even though I got to meet him finally. I think I worked out or walked to Starbucks. I mean, that was my workout. Or, you know, we showed up. I think there was like about 100 girls that just showed up. And you know what? There was girls in shape. There was girls out of shape. There was just so many, you know, walks of life. So obviously it wasn't just who was the fittest. It was who had the personality, who had that something that, you know, that was the director was drawn to. So I think a lot of us were just, you know, off the streets, basically doing regular jobs to just showing up at Glow, and they just kind of picked who they wanted and honestly, who would stick around. Because we really had no clue what we were doing. So
now, had you been on other auditions before? What did they have you do? I mean, did you have to do like crazy things or appear all energetic in order to get their attention? Or was it just kind of, they kind of looked at you as far as the optics and went, yeah, you could be this character?
Are you talking about for the audition? Audition?
Yeah, the first audition. Do they make you like sing or dance or do roles or anything?
No, well, the first audition, I'm thinking it was somewhere on Sunset. It was an office. But I had sent in a picture of me and, like, I wanted to be a bad girl, you know, with black leather gloves, short black leather skirt, and, you know, like, I want to be like Hollywood. And so, obviously, that caught their attention, and I went to an audition. So I found out also there was about 3,500 girls that also sent in pictures, and they were, I mean, if I would have known that, I probably wouldn't have done it. I would have got a little intimidated because I've never done anything like this. So I remember walking into an audition, and I'd never, ever done this. But I kind of knew, like, it's do or die. I either go back to Seattle or I stick it out here and just get this Glow job. Well, that sounded bad. So I'm sitting there, and there's Rick Liss, who on the Riviera, and I remember Matt Zimber, and they were just kind of doing, like, you know, like the questions, and I'm like, I got to do something to get their attention. I remember standing up, and I hit my fist on the table, like, yeah, like, I'm going to be, and I want this. So I thought, you know what, I blew this. It's over. Okay, I did my best. I went home, and 2 days later, they asked if I could, you had to get your own way there, if I could drive or get myself to Las Vegas by a certain date, and that was it. And then I showed up for, I think, the second part of the audition.
So a lot of it had to do with whether or not you could just get there.
If you look, I mean, think about it, Jim, it's like you have 3,500 people trying out. So it would be, yes, I could say that, but there was only about maybe 100 people that showed up. So there was a lot of girls that didn't make it. And I hear from a lot of people now, like, yeah, I tried out, or I wanted to do it. And, you know, it's like when they try out for Tough Enough, we don't realize how many people are trying out. It's pretty scary. But, you know, you just got to give it your all, and that's it. So when I arrived in Vegas, like I said, there was about, you know, maybe 100 people, women And it kind of went from that. But then there were apartments set up, and there was four to an apartment. And I think it was like this 2 days later, we showed up at, we were in a warehouse. We were at the Riviera. So they were kind of watching us like fish in a fishbowl, just to see what we would do, how we would interact with other people. And, you get 100 women together and, the claws come out. So, we were trying to friend each other and just kind of get through the workout. And the girls that couldn't get through the workout, they took off. So, little by little, the girls were just, they were leaving. And the girls that were staying back, we were secretly happy because that just meant we might have a chance of getting a space.
So what kind of physical things were they putting you through?
Oh God, like horrible stuff, like push-ups and sit-ups.
Oh no.
And running. I mean, when you go from doing almost like absolutely nothing to that, we were complaining like, 20 sit-ups, push-ups. They started off small, but the funny thing is you're going to hear a different story from different girls. Like Matilda's was totally different. I read her book. I don't know if you did. And
oh, yeah.
Hers was a different story. It was a great book, by the way.
It is,
and
yeah.
Ours was just, huh?
Yeah, it's very well written.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. I couldn't put it down for 3 days. And, we just start off gradually. And then all of a sudden, I remember, I think it was about a week, we were doing like starting off with rolls. And we had Nanichka and Debbie Deputon that they were training us. So we had two glow girls. And Nanichka, she was pretty tough. And Debbie Deputon was the sweet one. So I think you had your good cop, bad cop type of thing going on. And we started off with the rolls, and somebody was complaining about their neck. And then we did our handstands into the roll. And then when we started to do, all of a sudden, I remember them going, okay, you're going to flip yourself over like into a back bump. And I have never done anything like that. No gymnastics, no nothing. And they were like, just do it, do it. And you know what? You did it. I don't know how, but you just did it. And I kind of feel like we were all rooting for each other at that point. And a few girls would get hurt, their ankle, their knee, they would go home. Because if you couldn't do it, you couldn't be there. There was just too many spaces, available that if you were hurt, they're going to kind of wait around for you to heal. So once again, I think that was hard for a lot of girls. I think Jailbait, who ended up having a character, she got hurt kind of at the end of everything, and she was already a character, but then she couldn't be in the show because she hurt her knee really bad.
How did you see yourself as stacking up to the group as far as physicality and conditioning? Did you see yourself in the middle? How did you see yourself?
I know there were some girls that were really, really fit, but you know what? I have to say, because you had a character named Beastie, and her name was actually Kelly, and I'm thinking, wow, she's really, out of shape. But she kind of shocked me because when she got into the ring, she was really good. And the girls that you didn't think could, do the back bumps, like Daisy and other girls, you're like, oh, there's no way they're going to even, be able to hang on. And they did. So how they looked and actually how they performed was kind of shocking. I thought, oh, yeah, I'm in pretty good shape compared to them. But these girls were amazing. It didn't really matter your size. It's just how bad you wanted it. And the girls that ended up staying, we wanted it real bad.
All right. We're talking with the lovely Roxy Astor from GLOW. She's talking about how she became Roxy Astor. And we're going to take a quick break here and be right back. And we got some calls for Roxy Astor. You can touch base with her if you want at 515-605-9345. Or you can email at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Jim Valley, or you can find Roxy at RoxyAster1 on Twitter. We'll be right back with Roxy and the gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
It's the PW Torch Livecast in Jim Valley on Saturday Morning Wrestling. Joining us this morning, the gorgeous lady of wrestling, Roxy Astor, the Park Avenue Knockout. And we got somebody on the line who wants to talk to Roxy. Let's go to 814. 814, you're on the Livecast. Who's this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Myersville, PA.
Ryan, what's going on?
Hi, Ryan.
What do you got for Roxy?
My question for Roxy was it an issue in Glyph for the girls to flirt with David Glenn to get a better push?
That is what we've heard. you got to understand, we came in seasons 3 and 4, and I met David McLean for the first time at the WOW show at Belasco, I think about 3 weeks ago. I swear, if you read Matilda the Hun's book, you will see everything. You agree, Jim?
If you want to know about the casting couch aspects of Glow, Matilda's book pulls no punches at all.
Right.
But did you? It wasn't David, according to Matilda. It was some other people. Did you see that? Did you experience that?
No. We came in, like I said, season 3 and 4. But we kind of heard things. Now you got to understand, there's no internet back then. It's just us, like in this apartment, kind of hearing stories, but not really knowing the truth. So things came out later on that I'm like, wow, I didn't know that happened with that girl or that girl. We didn't know until later. And a lot of this came out in the Afterglow, the stage show I did. And, it's kind of interesting, some of the things that we all found out.
What else you got,
Ryan? Question for you. Did the girls have to have a day job, too, besides Glow, or did they just do the Glow wrestling?
Oh, you know what, Ryan? They owned us. We were there training every day, which is great because you have to train to be in the ring. And if we wanted to go out at night, a lot of the girls would sneak out. I would talk to Hollywood, and she was the worst. She would sneak out, her and Godiva. And we had to keep the good girls away from the bad girls. But honestly, Ryan, I snuck out with DC and Daisy all the time. No day jobs. If you wanted to do like some TV work, they would have to, okay. You know, it's like a contract, like with the WWE. You have to check with them. So, no. We didn't make a lot of money, which I think maybe a day job might have helped it a little.
I know that was one of Matilda's frustrations, was that she was getting a lot of offers and couldn't follow up on them. Did you or did any of the other girls have that frustration where people wanted to use you for commercials or appearances and the office would put a kibosh on that?
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. It's like this is all the things I'm hearing about now. And I hear a lot of interesting things from Hollywood, who was actually there, the only girl from season 1 through 4. I would hear that. She even brought something up about how we got tons of fan mail, and we didn't know it, and then she would go into the office, and she found her fan mail. This is all the things we found out 30 years later. So, yeah, I'm sure Matilda's got great stories. Hollywood has great stories.
What else you got, Ryan?
That's all I had. Thanks, Roxy.
Thanks, Ryan, for calling in.
Yep, thank you.
There's Ryan calling in at 515-605-9345, where you can email at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com or on Twitter at Jim Valley or at RoxyAster1. So you said that you wanted to be a bad girl, and instead you get cast as the Park Avenue Knockout Roxy Astor. How did that come about?
Oh, that was kind of sad in a way, because I thought for sure. Now, the director, Matt Zimber, I think he was, you know, kind of sitting back with Steve Blanche, the writer, kind of, you know, watching us to see, you know, what way we were kind of leaning or what we were looking at. Now, I mean, the way I dress and the way I act, I did not see Roxy Astor in me at all, but the other girls would tell me, oh, yeah, that's you. I am, like, such a tomboy. So, you know, I that's my thought. For sure, you know, a bad girl, I would be that. And I remember they were giving us our characters, and Tiffany Mellon, who was my tag team partner, all of a sudden they read, Tracy, you're going to be Roxy Astor, one of the Park Avenue Knockouts. I think I cried. I'm like, what? I don't want to do that. You know, but of course, you can't do that. You got to take what you can get. And but then I thought, hey, wait, I'm replacing Tina Ferrari. And then I was kind of like, well, okay, those are big shoes to fill. How am I going to do this? And I think when the outfit actually came out, and I think I saw like this outfit with maybe a yard and a half of material, I think I panicked. I'm like, oh my God, what is this? So it's like, okay, I could have gone home, but you know, I just given, you know, this getting this opportunity to play Roxy Astor, Park Avenue Knockout with Tiffany Mellon, and taking Tina and Ashley's place. So, not, you know, not replacing them, but just being, you know, an extent of them. So I didn't want to be them. I wanted to find my own character. Now, what I've heard from the other girls, too, is that when I wrestled, I kind of brought in, like, a bad girl type of thing. And I think I did that on purpose so I could just kind of be a good bad girl. And a lot of the fans do know that I wrote this match. It was between Dementia and myself, where I had Big Bad Mama come in and put a voodoo on us, and I changed characters with Dementia. So for once, I got to play a bad girl by getting away with it. So that ended up being my favorite match. But Dementia, she was amazing. I think she played Roxy better than I played Roxy. So you have to see that match if you haven't seen it. It's really good.
Well, we were talking about before you came on the air that it was you know, the 1980s, the height of the Reagan era, and money and greed and all that stuff. Roxy Astor was a baby face.
Yeah, I was. I wasn't happy about it because, honestly, they separated the girls even when we traveled. And on the bus, but I found myself more drawn to the bad girls. So that's where I kind of learned to be neutral and kind of get along with everybody. But it's funny because you had the bad girls and good girls, and it was like a sorority. You would really have, you know, the girls kind of fighting with each other, you know. So that's in wrestling, I guess, but that's women.
Did you get along okay with your tag team partner?
She was great. And she, you know, a lot of people didn't get along with her, but I found her very, very funny. I have kind of like a sarcastic, dry sense of humor. And do you remember Tiffany Mellon, how goofy she was and her laugh and her giggles?
Yeah,
do you remember?
Yeah, she was a lot of fun. She had a lot of energy. I thought she was a highlight of the show. Absolutely.
Okay. You know what? That was all an act. This girl is nowhere even close to how she portrayed that, which to me, it shows she was a good actress. And for her to play her dumb blonde type of, I mean, that was a stretch for her, but I think she pulled that off well. I mean, she's very, now she's political, and she did the wife, mom, bounty hunter. I mean, she's just totally opposite of what her character was back then. But it worked for us, I think.
Now she went on to a career in adult films after GLOW. Had she had show business experience prior to GLOW?
You know what? I know she wanted to be an actress, and how abruptly GLOW ended is it's kind of like, if you picture this, the GLOW girls, we are on top, we are on tour, We're the GLOW girls. We're doing TV shows. We're doing, you know, everything was just going so good. And I actually left to go have a baby, and I thought I was coming back to do a film about the GLOW girls, and we were going to have dolls and make money. And then it just, it got pulled away. It was just, it was done. We, you know, we were waiting for that one call that would make us the money that, you know, everybody thought this could really help us all. So, you know, people didn't, you know, the Glow Girls didn't know what to do after that, a lot of them. A lot of the girls went on to Pow Wow, and I know Tiffany wanted to be an actress, and she took it serious. She was the one that didn't go out and party. She would work out in the gym, and she took this very serious. Afterward, there was just really nothing there. So she chose the adult film industry, you know. I'm sure she got a lot of crap for that after, but you know what? To each his own.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you want to do, it's none of my
good
business. Just
whatever she's not hurting anybody, you know. And people will, you know, they'll ask me, what? How do you feel about it? You know, she's grown. I'm not paying her bills, so you know, she's still the same person. She's, you know. She had a cool show, you know, the Wife Mom Bounty Hunter, you know, after that. But people are always going to remember, if you did even one film, they're going to remember always the bad, you know, besides the good. But I have to say one thing. She never regretted doing her adult film. What she took that just as a regular job. I don't know how she did it, but that's how she did it. And when she was done and moved on.
I was amazed that she got away with using a name similar to her glow name, that no one ever sued her, and she got away with that. Because you'd think you'd think someone would go, hey, you can't use our name. That looks bad for us.
Well, okay, and the thing is, though, too, I think she did because glow was gone. You know, glow was, there was no, nothing. Nobody was doing anything with Glow. Now, I think if Glow was still going on and she decided to leave and then pursue that career, I think there would have been backlash or there would have been lawsuits. But it was done, and we were just kind of left, you know, hanging out there and not knowing what we were doing. But she just moved on. So, like I said, I think if it was still going on, there would have been.
And it's interesting, you talk about all of the characters, and you came in the later seasons when they needed to replace people, and that was something that Glow did. I don't know how many times David McClain has put together some sort of women's wrestling company, but he almost invariably has like an Amy the Farmer's Daughter or somebody the Farmer's Daughter who's gone through, I don't know how many different generations of the Farmer's Daughter, but that's what they all did.
Yep.
It was always, oh yeah, here's Becky the Farmer's Daughter and Amy the Farmer's Daughter and so and so. There was always a Farmer's Daughter, always.
Well, okay, Jim, are you going to complain that there was these hot girls in little short jeans? No, the fans loved the Farmer's Daughter, whether it was a cousin, a sister, or whatever. That, I think that was a staple of Glow, were the Farmer's Daughters, don't you?
It was a staple. I don't know. Like I said, I was more into you know, it broke kayfabe. You know, I was more into wrestling than I was. You guys, you know, I was a very serious wrestling fan, and God, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it?
I know, and I do hear that, and I didn't quite understand the whole thing because, like I said, a lot of these girls came into Glow not knowing anything about wrestling, and I think it might have, you know, pissed off a lot of fans like you to wrestling.
Yeah, I did.
Am I right?
Yeah, I don't know that I had a long conversation with anyone about it, but I would imagine it did. But I think the vast majority just were probably people who came home after a night of partying, who were drunk or whatever, and were just enjoying some fun, mindless television that kept the party going. I think that's probably more than likely.
Yeah, and the thing is, we were on after WWF, that's what it was called, right, back then?
Yep.
And so you had your WWF, and then you had your Glow. So, you know, maybe we were either, you know, it was just so opposite, and there was no divas really back then like us. So I think it kind of opened the eyes to maybe some WWF fans, you know. You either liked Glow or you didn't like Glow. So we have a lot of hardcore wrestling fans that, because we go to the CAC and we talk to these guys, and they love us because I think they know us now personally. And we love and we respect the guys over there.
All right, we're talking with Roxy Astor. We're going to take a break, come back, and if you're a big fan, she's got quite the opportunity with you can go cruising with the women of GLOW. We'll talk about that. And also talk about Fabulous Moolah and the wrestling training, and there's still some more ground to cover here this morning on the Saturday Morning Wrestling on the PW Torch Livecast.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
We're taking it back to the 80s on Saturday Morning Wrestling here on the PW Torch Livecast. It's Jim Valley, and joining us, one of the women from the gorgeous ladies of wrestling, the lovely Roxy Astor. Now, coming up, Roxy, 30 years later, you talked about your fans, and they still love you, and they still want to interact with you, and I've seen you guys at the Cauliflower Alley, and I understand that the rumor is you may be honored this year.
Oh, well, it's not a rumor. We're actually going to be honored. Patricia, you know Sunny, the California girl? She's been working with the CAC for a while, and we are. It's in the newsletter in the CAC, so I think we're going to have, it could be close to maybe 30 girls, 35 girls that will be, or I should say that will invade the CAC. It should be interesting.
And that's one of the cool parts about the, wasn't the documentary, were you guys at the CAC when you had the reunion? Was that also CAC in the documentary?
No, that was okay. In Orange County. We were close to Mount Fiji's home, like her rest home where she was staying. It was filmed at a DoubleTree Inn, and the guys that did the documentary with Little Egypt got all the girls together so they could film the scene of when she walked, or actually she was wheeled in with her family, and she saw all the GLOW girls, and we were singing. That was a really cool moment, by the way. That was very neat.
Yeah, it's sad. Mountain Fiji, and of course, Matilda Dunn's got a great attitude, but it's sad that, you know, she's got some health issues and things.
Yeah, it is sad. You know what? Matilda, to me, I was a huge fan of Matilda. You know, I mean, from Spaceballs to her Love in an Elevator, Aerosmith, and actually I call her a friend now. I've gotten to know her really well, even though, you know, I didn't wrestle with her. But there's so much to her, and I did not realize that until when I did the Afterglow, and I think it was almost 2 years ago, I reached out to her, and I go, hey, Matilda, I'm doing this this Afterglow. And that was after I did a Kickstarter successful and raised $5,000, and got 11 girls together. She goes, yeah, just call me if you raise the money and you do the show. And I said, okay, well, I did. And we had our first show on October 25th. And the girls showed up, and Matilda was there, and the venue was beautiful. And there was food there. It was like actually somebody said, you know, what they were going to do, and it happened. So, you know, just getting all these girls together and doing that for the first time and meeting, you know, really getting to know her. Her and I, we became friends after this. And she's, you know, like, she's out now. She's, you know, talking about her book. And And she goes to these events now, and she tells me that the Afterglow 2 years ago was kind of like the start of her getting out. So, I mean, that makes me happy.
So let's talk about the Afterglow parties and the Afterglow cruise that's coming up.
Well, okay, so the first Afterglow was October 25th, 2000. I think it was that 14 or 15? Oh, God, I'm terrible at math. We had a recent cruise going out of Long Beach to Ensenada, and that was just, you know, kind of like a starter cruise, and it was a hit. We did another Afterglow stage show where we had a segment called Truth or Dare, and one of the girls had to bring somebody from the ship on, and I guess they just were celebrating their anniversary, and Matilda gave them a locker?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
so that was a fun cruise. So we had 11 glow girls on there, and Matilda was able to go on this one. Now the next one, we're going to the Caribbean, February 12th to the 19th, leaving out of New Orleans. And, this is kind of not really a tester cruise. The last cruise was successful. I don't know if you know Bill Anderson, he was on it.
Yeah.
Bob Johnson's going on the next cruise, and it was a hit. I didn't know, you know, what was going to happen or, you know, if we were going to do it again, but we left the cruise, the last one, crying. People just, they had so much fun hanging with the glow girls, getting to know us, and it's just like, you know, seeing our fans and, you know, having pizza with them at 2 a.m. and karaoke. We got to know these fans, and that's what, you know, there's no other group of girls like this that will open up and really, really hang with the fans, you know? So, I mean, we feel blessed that, you know, we know them. So now this second cruise we have, and I told you, we have Tina Ferrari, who played Ivory, and Ashley. I wanted to bring on a tag team since my ex tag team partner really wants nothing to do with any type of glow, and I'm not, you know, going to push her for it. We have Hollywood and another, you know, the same girls that went, but unfortunately Matilda won't be able to make this one. And so this one, like I said, is going out of New Orleans. It's an 80s theme prom, and it's an 80s theme cruise. So have you seen, I showed you the flyers. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it looks like a lot of fun. I think if you... If you like the 80s or you're a fan of glow or grew up then or just enjoy that time, I think it'll be a lot of good campy fun. And, you know, cruises are great. If you've never been on a cruise before, I think this would be a good starter point. And I remember the first time I went on a cruise, I was like, boy, I work too hard on vacation, because on a cruise, everything you need is just right there. You want to go eat? You
right.
Go eat. You want to go see a movie? Well, there's probably a movie playing in the theater on board. You just walk down some stairs or take an elevator, and whatever you need is just right there.
Well, I think a lot of people, they kind of think, oh, cruises are for older people. No, it is not like that anymore. We're going on, I don't know what cruise line you went on. Last one was Carnival, great cruise. This one we're going on Norwegian cruise line. And I've been on one before, and Norwegian is amazing. And it's a renovated cruise ship. So I mean, if you've been, where'd you go? Norwegian or Royal or?
I've taken a number of cruises. I've been on Norwegian.
Oh.
I've been on. I've taken virtually everything but Carnival. Norwegian is great. It's got a fantastic spa, which I was a big fan of. And also the other nice thing about Norwegian is that it gives you a lot of choices. Where if you want to go to the steak restaurant, you can go to the steak restaurant. If you want to go to the Benihana style restaurant, you can go to the Benihana style restaurant. You can kind of tailor your cruise experience for whatever you want. So no, I'm a big fan of the Norwegians. The NCLs are great great cruise ships.
Yeah, and did you notice, like, okay, for Carnival, when you partied, you were actually inside a club, and on Norwegian, you party on top of the ship too. Like, you didn't have that. And I like that. Cause when I went on my first cruise, there was like a neon party or something. And on the stage, and I'll have to show this on my timeline again, it said glow. And I thought, okay, that's weird. And now I'm doing a glow cruise or an afterglow cruise on the same ship or like the same cruise line. So, huh, I think that was a sign, don't you think?
it's meant to be. So I tweeted out the website, but what is it for people who want to look into this?
Okay, it's 80s, and that's 80s, afterglow.com. But I also want to say, too, that we have any expose fans out there? I was a huge expose fan. We have Joya Bruno, who is right now even traveling with expose, and she had a lot of, she was a lead singer, a lot of the songs. She's going to be doing a few concerts on our Afterglow cruise. And so that, I think one of them's going to be the Valentine's Day dance, and the other one's going to be the prom. We're having a prom. So she's going to be performing at both. And hanging with the fans and partying with them. So it's 80sAfterglow.com, and you can see who's going to be going on the cruise. You're going to see everything that's going on. And we just put out our itinerary of all the fun things we're going to be doing. So we're 3 months away, and we're doing really good with sales. We're selling out a lot, which to me, being the second cruise is a big thing. You know, it could go either way. So a lot of the people that went to the first cruise, they're excited. 11 months later, they already booked their second cruise. So, I mean, that must say something.
Sure. And they'll get to interact with you and hang out with you and the other Glow women, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, what do you mean interact? We pull them out of their rooms. You are not going to be in there. We will not pull you out. We go looking for our fans. I don't know what girls do that. So, I mean, we are really, I know if I didn't see a few fans for a while, I was out stalking our fans. We are going to find you. Now, we had a great time with them, and they had a great time with us, and there's nothing like, you know, when you get a bunch of Glow girls and Glow fans together. And the Afterglow fan party, the third one. This will be great because we have a fan hot seat that we let the fans get on that hot seat and ask any of these Glow girls questions. And it gets pretty good.
Yeah, I can imagine if Matilda was there. She doesn't exactly have a filter, so...
That's what I love about Matilda. No filter. Why should she? She's got nothing to lose.
She's hilarious. Hey, with the resurgence of Glow, with the Netflix show that's coming up, do you have any thoughts on the? What are your thoughts on the scripted show based on Glow that's coming to Netflix?
Well, I am a little confused, and the confusion is okay. Yes, it'll bring new fans to us, but I'm kind of confused, like, how will it bring new fans? Are they just going to watch our videos? Or I don't know. It's confusing because when they're advertising it, when it first came out, and the funny thing is, when we were going on the last cruise, Matilda called me up. She said, did you hear about this Netflix show about Glow? I'm like, what are you talking about? It was the day before we went on the cruise. And I looked it up, and there it was, and it had our group picture of Glow. And I'm like, well, I've never heard or nobody's come to any of us. And I'm sorry, if you're going to do a Glow anything, I mean, I think you would ask Hollywood or ask Matilda or ask somebody to be a part of it. So a lot of our fans, I think they're going to watch. They might be disappointed. There's a lot of big stars. And a lot of the girls are unhappy, like, hey, you know what? Why not let us do a cameo or do something, you know, but they want nothing to do with the Glow girls, but yet our picture is out there. So am I happy that it's bringing more light onto future projects, I think, for girls, for the Glow girls, but how many or what? I mean, obviously, Matilda's not making any money off it, and I know she definitely needs it. So, some of it kind of makes me mad. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I can completely see your point. I think I'm in agreement with you as far as if they're going to use your likeness and some of the work you did, then you should be compensated for it. I think that's the way the world works. Hey, we got another question here for Roxy Astor. Let's go to area code 503. 503, you're on the livecast. Who's this and where are you calling from? Hello?
Scared him away.
They dropped off. I guess they
scared them away.
I guess so. They were in the queue like they wanted to talk, but I guess not, because you got to push the button if you want to ask a question. I got lots of people listening, but everyone's satisfied with the questions. So as far as you're a mom. I know that one of your kids just celebrated a birthday, according to Facebook. What do your kids think of this whole glow phenomenon?
Well, they don't quite get it. I don't think my daughter is the one I wished a happy birthday. She's actually become friends with a lot of the glow fans from the last cruise. Now, I don't know, my other daughter, Kayla, she's 25. She was Juvie Hall in Wrestlelicious. I don't know, that was Johnny Caparella's thing. Do you remember Wrestlelicious?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, she played Juvie Hall when she was 18. And she had an audition with WWE, it was in last May. They liked her. You know how that goes, still waiting on the call. So she's kind of used to this. Now, Lindsay, on the other hand, she's my youngest, really just wanted to stay away from it until she went on the last cruise. Now she's friends with my friends on Facebook, the Glow fans, and she loves it now. And I think finally after, you know, they're embracing that mom did this really weird thing back, you know, 30 years ago. And people, when they find out, your mom's Roxy Astor, they're like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Can I get an autograph, you know, from their parents? So it's very funny. People still remember us. And back in grade school, a couple of my kids were a hit because their mom was Roxy Astor. So they got kind of teased, but yet they like it now because they see everything going on now.
Did they ever dress up as you for Halloween or an 80s day at school or anything like that?
No, I just remember I had my little green outfit, and Kayla, when she was 2 years old, you sat on, and back then in the 80s, the crotches were probably about 24 inches long, so she would walk around in my green outfit, tripping on the crotch.
That's so funny.
Well, I know, you got a visual on that, right?
So, and when was your last match, your last interaction with actual wrestling when you got pregnant? Did you ever try any other wrestling after Glow?
No. And another thing that I want to say is you asked about a second job. I had a rare second job. I did some of the hair for Glow. So I incorporated what I knew from back then. So I went back to hair. No, a lot of the girls went on. I left Glow to have a baby. But like I said, I was going to come back and do the movie. A lot of the girls, they were doing POW and WOW. Or I don't know if WOW was back then, was it? Maybe it was just POW. But then there was Sylvester Stallone's mom did some Foxy Boxing. And a lot of the girls just kind of picked up where, you know, it was just nobody knew what to do. They were kind of, this is what they knew. So I think for a few years, they were trying to grab anything that could be remotely like it, you know. And I think that was just kind of crazy. I was kind of glad that when I left, that I left like that. You know, I was kind of like, okay, I'm going to go be a mom for a while and see what happens. And that's what's so funny is that 30 years later, I am drawn back into it. But I'm drawn back into it because I think, you know, the documentary and the fans and, you know, and how we've changed lives, which, you know, and we hear that all the time. But I walked away from it, I think, at a good time.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You got to know when to move on. But we're glad that you're back, and I really, really appreciate your time. So how can people get in touch with Roxy Astor?
Okay, I can still accept friends on Facebook. So you can friend request me. I actually interact with fans. You got questions, I'm there, I answer. And you can also go Roxy Astor 1, and there's also a Glow Wrestling 1, which all the girls are connected to also. But a lot of us were on Facebook, so contact us through Facebook. I actually contacted you, didn't I, on Facebook?
Yes, you did, yeah. And I was
because
glad
I saw that
you
did. Yeah, so I thought that was kind of neat. And that's it. Twitter, go if you want to book the cruise. That's 80safterglow.com. But if you're my friend, you will see on Facebook everything that's going on with the Afterglow. It all starts on my page, so...
So there you go. You can find her on Facebook. And also, if you're a wrestling fan, I would encourage everyone, if you get an opportunity, to go to the Cauliflower Alley. It's a lot of fun. It's not a very expensive excursion, as far as it's very reasonably priced, and you'll get to interact not only with the gorgeous ladies of wrestling, but there's so many other legends of wrestling. It's a great experience. So I would also encourage people to find out more at Cauliflower Alley and maybe go see the gorgeous ladies of wrestling this year at Cauliflower Alley. Probably going to be a fun year to go.
Mm-hmm. Great people there. I love the Cauliflower Alley.
Well, look, Roxy, I appreciate your time. It was a lot of fun. And if you need anything from me, let me know. And also, let's see if we can connect and get Tina Moretti on the show. I'd love, you know, she lives up here, I think, doesn't she? Isn't she like?
Yes, she does. I'm working on that one.
Okay.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, we'd love that.
So we could try to do a follow up.
Yeah, let's do that, or maybe get a couple of GLOW women on. Maybe it'd be fun to have Matilda and somebody on and let her embarrass someone on the air. That would be fun.
That would be great. That would be great, because she's good. I would love to be on the air with Matilda, or we can get Sunny, MTV, Hollywood. She's funny. And
oh,
she was
Hollywood.
Over seasons 1 through 4.
That's right. Yeah, and we'll do some more GLOW, but everyone has really enjoyed it. And you can find her at RoxyAster1 on Twitter or 80sAfterGlow.com if you want to look into the cruise. I think that would be a lot of fun. But Roxy Aster, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. And go take care of those people.
Thanks for having me, Dan. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And go take care of those people who are working next to your building.
I'm going right now.
There we go. All right. Roxy Aster, everybody, and joining us this morning for the very popular Saturday Morning Wrestling.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host 3 other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com. And that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost 3 decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.